Oh, Christmas Eve. I don't know about anybody else, but we have, might help if I turn that on. I don't know anybody else, but we have some Christmas Eve traditions in the Redstones, and this hasn't just started since Michelle and I got married. This is a long-standing Redstone tradition. Christmas Eve was always the night that we got to pick one gift. As much as my parents encouraged us to pick a small gift, yeah, right, we always picked the biggest one that was under the tree. Ironically, the big ones always showed up Christmas morning after Santa had showed up. That was ironic, wasn't it? Santa always brought the big gifts. So we would, obviously, the first step to getting to open the gifts is we had to survive to Christmas Eve service. And the church we grew up in, Christmas Eve service, midnight mass, was what it was called. It literally went till midnight. So it was like a gamble. How many of the children are going to make this? Not many. We had to like sneak Grandpa's coffee every once in a while. That was how we made it until the parents caught on to that one too. And then, well, we just didn't stand a chance. The saving grace in all this is the church we normally went to for midnight mass had very uncomfortable wooden pews. That was hard to fall asleep on. So, like, these are significantly better. These are a big upgrade over what we had to sit on in order to get to midnight mass or survive midnight mass. But the thing that I am reminded of as we come into Christmas Eve, and I'm more importantly, as we look forward to Christmas, and all of the kids get excited because there's all these gifts under the tree, and we didn't put our gifts out, we hid them in an undisclosed location, because if I tell you, the children will find them tonight, and that's not going to go well. But Christmas, amongst everything, Christmas has become about the gift. And this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever part of the day we're in, I haven't done too many evening things yet. The question is, what makes the perfect gift? What are the criteria of the perfect gift? And I wonder how many of us, when we were younger and excited and just wanted to like please everybody, and we spent hours upon hours looking for the perfect gift. And after years of trying and maybe a couple times where we thought we got it right and the person we gave the gift to looked a little disappointed and we're like, oh, oops. How many times that we have gone out in search of instead of a perfect gift, but just a gift that's good enough. And we've become less concerned about the higher up criteria and we just kind of hit the baseline criteria. And when I think of the perfect gift, I think of three things. Number one, something that is going to be memorable. Something that years down the road, you're going to remember that one Christmas when I got this one thing or we gave them that one thing. For me, one memorable thing that I got was a multi-game tabletop thing. It had like air hockey and ping pong and all that stuff. And the only reason I remember it is because it sat in the basement for years. It was indestructible. Probably body slammed my brother into it a couple times. And he in turn body slammed me into it a couple times. But I remember that because it was big and it was awesome and it lasted. It was something that was in the basement part of our growing up for a lot of years. So it's memorable. And actually, in fact, the table was probably a good example of the second thing. The second thing is it's something that lasts. It's not going to be a gift that just gets piled up with the rest of the gifts, and by the end of Christmas, whoever you gave it to is not going to use it anymore. But something that is going to be used for years to come, it's not going to break, it's not going to be, right? Because there's times where we buy things that break, and so it kind of works in our favor because we just get it again next year because the old one broke and we just replace it, right? It went over well the first time. We'll just do it again. Something that's memorable, something that lasts. Like I said, the tabletop thing survived my brother and I being slammed into it, so it lasted. It stood the test of time for a while until we got big enough that it stopped lasting. And the third thing, and I think this is maybe the one thing that we probably settle for. Maybe we're not so concerned about it being memorable, and we're not so concerned about it lasting, but we want something that's going to enhance the life of the person that we're giving it to. Right? In some way, this gift is going to make life better for this person that we're giving it to. Whether the enhancement is just that momentary joy of opening it and being like, woohoo, this is awesome. Maybe the enhancement is it makes work life easier, or it makes life in the kitchen easier, or it makes life better in some way. It enhances. And the word enhance is so broad, it's so wide-ranging that anything could enhance in so many different ways that it just becomes that kind of baseline, yeah, if it enhances their life, then we're doing good. An even better gift doesn't just enhance the life of the person you give it to, it enhances a group of people. Maybe you give it to one person, but it helps the couple. Or you give it to the dad, but it helps the whole family. I think of, at this time, World Vision is always asking you to give and buy like a cow for a village. And that one cow doesn't just impact one person's life, it impacts the whole village. So that gift would be significantly huge in the life of those people that are taking advantage of it. And it might be memorable for them. It might have some longevity, depending on what they're going to do with the cow, right? It might survive one night because it gets, anyways. And when I think of memorable, long-lasting, and enhancing, it brings us all the way back to the first gift that was ever given on the very first Christmas. The birth of Christ marks off all of those things, and it marks it off in ways that nothing else has ever marked it off. We're still talking about the birth of Jesus over 2,000 years later. It has stood the test of time. It is a gift that we give, not just at Christmas, but we give the gift of relationship with Jesus every single day, every opportunity, every moment of our life that we interact with another human being, we have the opportunity to give the gift of Christ to them. Every day we have the opportunity to quiet our lives and enhance that relationship with Him and allow Jesus to speak into our hearts and to bring us the peace and the joy and the fulfillment, which in all obviousness leads right into nothing enhances life more. Nobody in all of history, no gift in all of creation enhances the life of the person who receives it more than Jesus Christ. And Jesus hasn't just impacted one person. He hasn't just impacted a family or a village. He has impacted the world a million times over. Every day, somebody somewhere is committing their life to a relationship with Jesus, and it all started 2,000 years ago with a little baby in a manger. And if we need evidence that Jesus enhances life, that Jesus is the most perfect gift, let's go back to the story. Let us see how the arrival of Jesus impacted the people who met him first. So we go to Luke and we read about the shepherds, and the shepherds have the shepherds have just had this angelic experience, and we read, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. Oop. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Now this is quite a story, because we're talking about a group of guys who don't like to draw attention to themselves. It was a couple weeks ago, we talked about how shepherds weren't really highly regarded in Roman society. They were kind of, because they're kind of dirty and they hang out with sheep. And so, you know, the smell of sheep rubs off on them, and they sleep outdoors, and they're kind of a rough crowd. And so they don't really draw attention to themselves. And yet they have had this angelic experience. They have met Jesus. They've seen the baby. And they can't help but to run through Bethlehem declaring this amazing thing that has happened. Their personality has changed. Their Their conduct has changed. Jesus hasn't even said boo to them. He's hardly hours old, and yet the shepherds are completely transformed by this baby that the angels announced to them. Jesus, before he could even speak or touch or comprehend what he was doing, was impacting lives of people in ways that was so profound. For the shepherds to run through Bethlehem and be like, look at what has happened. The people, the Bethlehem would have just been an uproar. What has gone into the shepherds? What are they even drinking tonight? Like, come on, guys, calm down. It would have been so out of their character. But it would have been a great way to announce what had happened, because it's not a source of people that they expected to hear it from. It wasn't the priests. It wasn't the king. It was these shepherds announcing it to Bethlehem. We jump over to Matthew and read about these guys last week, or on Sunday, which wasn't a week ago, but anyways. The Magi, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. As we talked about on Sunday, these guys traveled not just around the block and not just from another city, but they traveled for months on a whim. And everything that they had studied and everything that they had traveled and hoped to find culminated in, Jesus probably wasn't a baby anymore. He'd probably been around for a while, because based on what we read later on in the story, but, and we don't know where Joseph is in the story, but they find the child, and they find him with his mother, and they, it says that they rejoiced with an exceedingly great joy. For these guys to walk away unchanged by this encounter would have been, it's completely unrealistic. It's, you can't expect that. Everything that they had hoped for, they had risked life, they had risked relationship. I joked on Sunday, like, if they hadn't found Jesus, how do they explain that to their wives? I've been gone for months and I got nothing to show for it. But instead, they are leaving, and it's, many scholars say that these are probably the first followers of Jesus who weren't Jewish. And so they walked away, and they would be so transformed, because now they're going to go back and they're going to read these scriptures that refer to this Messiah, and they're going to read it with more fervor, they're going to read it with more excitement, more drive, because they want to know more, they want to see what's to come, they want to see what he's going to accomplish for the world, because Jesus wasn't just the Jewish king, he was the king of the world, he was the Messiah, he was the Savior. He was the ultimate sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. And Jesus continues to do that day in, day out. He touches lives. He touches hearts. Everyone who comes into a relationship with Jesus can't help but to be changed by him, because he doesn't ask anything. He is a free gift. The free gift of God, and yet he is the best gift of all, the only perfect gift. And you can ask, you don't have to read stories, you don't have to go online, you can ask anyone in this building, you can ask anyone of your neighbors, if you're watching online, you can ask anyone who has come into a relationship with God, the fact that Jesus changes everything. You are not the same person after Jesus, after you've come into a relationship with him. You can't be the same person, because he is, comes into your life. He fills you with his Holy Spirit. He changes your desires. He changes your value, because the world may not value you, but God values you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you. He loves you with an exceeding love that no matter what you do, no matter how many times you get it wrong, Jesus still loves you. No matter how much we stumble and fall, his forgiveness never runs out. His grace never fails to be poured out. His mercy is new every morning. How can you come into somebody who offers you everything and asks nothing in return? How can you go into that relationship and not be changed by it? And so tonight, as we zero in on the only perfect gift to ever be given in all of time, in all of history, I wonder if somebody here or someone watching online, you're like, I could really use some of that grace. I could really use some of that fulfillment. I could really use some purpose. I could really use some of what you're talking about. Maybe you made a commitment to follow Jesus and then life happened and you've kind of fallen away and you've kind of done your own thing and you're not feeling the joy right now. You're not feeling the love. You're not feeling the purpose and the fulfillment. You're not feeling the things, but you know that it's there. You know that it's yours for the taking. Then tonight I want to offer you that. I want to give you the best gift I could ever give you tonight. I want you to come into the relationship with Jesus and the way that he has transformed my life and the way that he's transformed hundreds of thousands of millions of billions of people's lives. I want the same for you. I want to give you the perfect gift. I know it kind of wrecks all the other gifts for the rest of Christmas, but that's a risk I'm willing to take. And everyone here who's already accepted that gift and knows the transformative power of Jesus, and I invite you to pray and to seek and to see who can you give the only perfect gift to. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with God, I have a good news for you. Everyone who was an adult, and by adult I mean 18 and older, hopefully you got one of these, you got a little white bag. And I know the younger guys went through it already because, you know, I can't give them a, what's in here? If you haven't gone through it yet, in the bag is a New Testament, a track, which is just a little write-up about everything that has to do with Jesus and what he offers you and what coming into relationship with him will do for your life. There's a little card in there that gives you access to all the resources that we as a church have access to, because we want you to be able to read up and study and know who this Jesus is. He will come to you when you pray. He will meet with you in the quiet space, but he is also somebody that we could put in the work to know. And I threw in a couple candy canes, because who doesn't like candy canes? They're not red and white like Darren talked about. There's some green. It's not the same. I know. I'm sorry. But, you know, I do the best I can. And the idea is that if you don't know who Jesus is, you've never had a relationship with him, and you're on the fence, and you're like, yeah, I think I want this, or I don't want this, but I'm up to for reading about it, then that is yours. That bag is all yours. You can hold on to it, take advantage of everything. And if you are a longtime follower of Christ and you have had this relationship and you know the power that he offers, then I invite you to take this bag and give it to somebody else. Do what you want with the candy canes. It's, you know, that's between you and me and God. You know, if you eat the candy canes, go for it. But you can give the rest of the bag to somebody else so that they can have the same experience and the same love and the same life change that each and every one of us have had. We're going to move into the candle lighting portion of this evening. And it's interesting, I was talking to my wife, and I was like, why do we light candles on Christmas Eve? I don't think it was ever explained to me why we do this. But I realize The reason we light a candle on Christmas Eve is because it's not about shining our light. It's not about us. It is not about what we have to offer. It's all about Him. And in the world that we are living in, with everything that has gone on lately, it's safe to say there is a lot of darkness right now. And the world needs a little bit more light. And so as we light the candle and as we look at the fire, which so often represents the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture, we're going to sing a song, but I invite you to just reflect and look and just allow the light to soak into your being, and let the light of Christ shine and dispel all the darkness and dispel everything. Because whether you've been a longtime believer or this is all brand new to you, it's never too late for a little bit of a refresher. It is never too late to refocus, and it's never too late to let the light shine just a little bit brighter in our hearts. Let's pray, and then Michelle and I are going to go. Ooh, it leaks. Okay, I'm going to do this quick. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that as we light these candles and as we focus in on everything that You represent in our lives, Jesus, God, I pray that the light just shines brightly in us. And then as we go, we're not carriers of our light. We're not carriers of what we want, but we're carriers of Your light. And all of that represents the love, the grace, the mercy, Your presence. God, everything that You are, I pray that we would just shine. And Jesus, I pray that when life gets darker, that Your light would shine brighter. Jesus, we love You. Give You all our praise and thanks. In Your precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.